Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, and you. Another win for Nebraska on the recruiting trail. We'll get to Will Nixon and his commitment for Nebraska. I love looking at the Twitter feed of the Nebraska assistant coaches when there's a good get and all the gifts that are out there. They are priceless, so we'll spend some time on that. We were off, man, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the old triple header, apparently, man. We've never done that. Been doing radio for 4,000 years, and I don't know that I've had three straight days off ever. And about Saturday, I start itching.
It feels like we haven't been here in forever.
It does. And we were gone Friday, and you had the Watts news come down, Notre Dame winning that. So some thoughts on that. Roby and JPJ doing their thing in Summer League. Comments on that. Jay Moore's going to join us. Blackshirt Monday commences forward. Jay in about 15 minutes. Next hour, 1 hour from now, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. And then Mr. Recruiting, Greg Smith, will be back with us and get his thoughts on how Nebraska's doing here for 2020. And Will Nixon, you can get in 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Numbers to dial up. Can follow us. Do so on Twitter. Chris Schmidt at Schmidt underscore radio. Colton Stone at Two Birds One Stone. And email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Thursday and Friday next week, we are in Chicago for Big Ten Media Days. That will be an experience. Can't wait to chat with coaches and players in Chi-Town. So you had a bit of tough news if you're a Nebraska football fan last Friday with Xavier Watts saying, yeah, I'm going to Notre Dame. And listen, Notre Dame said, it's getting down to it. What's your decision? Watts said, I'm going to Notre Dame. And, you know, good on him for going with his gut, going with what he thinks is best for him. And Notre Dame's about been the only school to infiltrate Nebraska historically, and we've talked about it. Go down the list of kids that have gone from Omaha to Notre Dame, and the one Lincoln kid, Lincoln Southeast stud Ty Good, loved watching him play growing up. And listen, Notre Dame's just, it's national, and Notre Dame's been pretty decent. I know they were 4-8 3 years ago, but they're off of a playoff appearance last year. They're off of a 10-3 season, and they played for a national championship, and a lot of these high school kids is kind of wheelhouse of sports fandom or when you get impressionable. So Nebraska needed to find another wide receiver for the class of 2020, and what they get is Will Nixon. So it's pretty interesting how things set up for Nebraska to land Will Nixon. And listen, color me shocked that this happened. And I don't doubt Nebraska's evaluation. I don't doubt Nebraska's sincerity. I don't doubt Nebraska's ability to evaluate, develop a relationship, then close. They do that. This staff, this head coach, they know how to do that to a T. They're phenomenal. All that being said, dude's dad is the offensive coordinator for Baylor. Okay, how often do you go into, let's just say Waco, and get a kid from Waco when his dad works in Waco at Baylor? I know Baylor's been in a slew of just garbage post-Briles, and they're trying to climb out of it. Nixon's dad's been down there since 2017. And things got pretty quick for Nebraska. What they did is clearly Nixon got on the radar of Walters and Held. All right. And an offer went out in March. Nebraska went down during the evaluation period, and it was Walters and Held that went to Waco. And they got an in-person, made an impression on Nixon. Nixon put an unofficial together in June. And the trip to Lincoln, the unofficial to Lincoln, was really good for Nixon. He liked Lincoln. He liked the college town. He liked the facilities. But again, it goes back to that relationship building and the chance to meet the offensive side of the ball, the chance to chat with Scott Frost, the ability to kind of just size up Coach Frost and say, this guy's for real. And Nebraska's message to him, well, it's honesty. We think you can be great, but you got to put the work in. And that's not necessarily unique in the college world today. It's more so what you want to hear versus what you need to hear. So the thing that sticks out to me about Nixon is his size. He's not a Xavier Betts 6'3 dude. Okay, right. He's 5'11, 185. And just think of the offenses that fit with him, right? The Purdue's, the Baylor's, the Notre Dame's, where you want that quick slot option. And watching some of the film, the impressions that come out to me for Nixon is just his ability to separate. And listen, man, I don't want to beat you over the head with Texas high school football. Well, it's awesome, okay? Yeah. Texas high school football is its own special thing. It's its own zip code. And watching the film, Friday Night Lights, and you see what Nixon was able to do against some high-end talent in Texas, you got to stop and go, wow. So you're getting a kid that is very well-versed in playing the slot in a three-wide or four-wide set in a spread offense that looks a lot like Nebraska's. And the routes that you see over and over is where you'll have him as either the first guy off the line in a trips formation, or there's going to be a far-wide split out, and then there he is, and you just run that up and in. Over the top of the linebacker in front of the safety, not a slant, but that post, good luck stopping it. If the ball's on time and on the money, hits him in stride, he makes a move if he has to, or he just splits the seam and is gone. Nixon is fantastic with his ability to separate. Nixon's fantastic in his ability to get rack yards, run after catch yards. Mm-hmm. And that's this whole thing with the Nebraska offense is getting dudes that can ball in space. And I saw him with the quick out that you see the Wes Welkers or the Edelmans of the world make famous, where they go about seven and quickly cut it out, make the catch on time and turn up field. Either they get yards after contact or they break a tackle and are shifty enough to hit that accelerator and turn a 8-yard gain into an 18 to 80-yard gain. Saw some of his film, too, where he just went straight up the seam on go routes. Was really good with ball skills coming back. Can really get up in the air, too, if it's got to be a high throw with a defender around. And then, of course, the little pop pass where you play action and bubble it in the slot. Mm. And one thing about Waco in his high school, they got some dudes that can block for him. So he was able to make a catch in the slot on that little bubble pass and read his blocks and then get downfield. So his ability to separate, the different routes he can run, and then even his running back, I mean, it is a highlight tape, but in the zone read where he took the handoff, I mean, the guy would be lined up to the right shoulder pad. It'd be a right zone read to left. He'd hit the seam between guard and left tackle, gone. And guys that have angles on him, big linemen, linebackers would be trying to run down the line and corral him. Two steps and then up the field, and just the burst is real with William Nixon. So it's tough to not get a guy like Watts, but you got a really, really good one that's probably an underrated three-star from the state of Texas. And let's be honest, man. I mean, Nebraska can't just roll down to Texas anymore. They want to get to that point, but it's not as easy as throwing up the bat signal red N in Texas like it used to be 20 years ago to get Texas talent, because you're not playing down there anymore. There's no A&M or Texas double dip. There's no Baylor showcase. It just isn't that easy anymore. So kudos to Held and Walters for making this happen, finding a kid they liked, and then making it happen quickly and getting the commitment number 8 for 2020.
Yeah, and by no means is this like the perfect fill-in spot like for Xavier Watts, because you want Xavier Watts, and you look at your receiving core. Yeah, everyone thought Wandale was gone, and then what campus is he on, you know? Mm-hmm. But it fits the mold of the offense that they're running.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about it since they started saying, like, this is the offense that we'll be switching to. It'll be more spread, is you'll have more 5'11", 6-foot kind of smaller guys, and then you'll have a feature wide receiver. They haven't found one yet. They haven't developed one yet. But if they can get guys that just have an athletic ability, are just – you can't teach fast.
No.
And you can't teach fast.
Or shake.
Yeah, and you can't teach big. So, like, those are the two things that they can't develop. But if you can get a guy that can just get off the line and go, you can work with everything else.
Well, and here's the thing, and listen, in the film I watched of him, the huddle posting, I didn't see a lot of guys trying to press cover him, because if he shakes you, then it's really over.
Yeah.
So you got to give him a little space, and coverage wasn't bad. The passes were good, and his ability to run a crisp route was impeccable. I mean, there's just some things you can't stop. How many years did you grow up watching the damn Fiesta Bowl or Orange Bowl, and up, here comes the slant route from Florida State, short of giving and getting a piggyback ride, you're not stopping it. I mean, there are just some plays in football, Bo Jackson, Tecmo Bowl, that are just unstoppable.
Yeah.
And that little post route in the slot, if it's thrown effectively, it's over. And if you load up to stop that, guess what? There's another two guys that are running a complementary route that are going to screw with your defense. So I like the fact you get a kid out of Texas. I think Nebraska will stay after Xavier Watts.
Yeah.
And it isn't over there. But you're getting a kid out of Waco that has track speed and is very shifty, and he looks like a pretty tough football player. That's a win. And when his dad's the OC of Baylor, and you get him over Baylor and over a Purdue, I mean, dude, if the wideouts that Frost and Brohm are going after are the Wandale and Rondale and Spielman type mold, and I know Tariq Hill isn't a good person, but I'm saying if you can get that prototype of
talent-wise,
where the guy's just a cheetah off the line and can catch. I mean, you see what the Tariq Allen type player is doing in the NFL, and he's a little bit different than the Edelman smaller slot guy.
Right.
I mean, Edelman can. That's the other thing too. I didn't mention about Nixon. Guy goes over the middle. Clearly, with where he's lined up, he goes over the middle. But he's pretty tough in traffic, making catches. And he's a different over the middle than your Ricky Prohl or Wayne Krabet or Keyshawn Johnson possession guy, Mo Purify.
Right.
I know Mo made some big plays for you as a kid in the end zone with the jump ball. But Mo is a dig route guy.
Yeah.
Up 9, across 9. And you hit him. So this body type and this athleticism fit with the Nebraska offense is a win. And we'll see if he's a Duckar candidate or if he's just going to be a slot Spielman type.
Yeah, and I think the other added benefit is the guy that'll be throwing in the ball.
Sure.
We'll have 2 years under his belt and potentially three if, you know, he redshirts or whatever. But that always helps, too, is seeing, like, a tape from that and going, yeah, I know it's highlights, but then you realize that the guy throwing is – a little more polished than a high school quarterback going to him.
Sure.
It's like, oh, okay.
Well, and the guy's like, you know, I'd love to to catch a pass or two from Adrian. We'll see. We are out to Will and Nixon, and we'll see if we can make that happen. Greg Smith will have the full recap for you on that. Good stuff on HailVarsity.com with the latest commitment for Nebraska. So I want to remind you about summer, and it's here, and your friends at Madonna Therapy Plus want to get your golf swing back, and the Swing Well program still going on, the golf assessment and fitness program. Talked to Darren Bryant last month. He's a Titleist Performance Institute certified golf fitness expert. Uses that physical evaluation combined with video analysis to customize exercise programs for you to get your swing back and to help make that pain go away. The Swing Well Golf Assessment, it's not a golf lesson per se, but it's designed to give you you and your body that help it needs to get your swing you want. Give Madonna Therapy Plus a call today. Three locations for Therapy Plus in Lincoln, one in West Omaha. This Therapy Plus for golf and the Swing Well Assessment is at the Proactive location, 56th and Pine Lake. The number 402-420-0004 or MadonnaTherapyPlus.org. Get that that golf swing some help. We'll get some help from a black shirt. Jay Moore's up next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Black Shirt Monday, we say hi to Jay Moore, Black Shirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, and Jay Moore 44. Jay, we'll get into some Nebraska football topics, but brother, it's time to defend a title. Are you ready? How's it going?
Well, I'm doing well. Just taking a break from the working out at the gym, and just get some work done after this, and then it's stadium time. So at the Country Club of Lincoln today, so I don't play till later. I have some time to kill, which is good. Get a light workout, get some work done, talk to you on the radio, and hopefully play some good golf for the first round.
There's a certain order of importance for all of that. You're kind, my friend, to give us a few, because you won it last year, right?
Yeah, well, I won the Lincoln City.
Okay, so
that was this is a state am. I mean, this is by far the biggest amateur event that we have in the state, and in the Lincoln City last year. That's, it's just people who reside in the city of Lincoln.
Sure. So there's a difference. What's on the table for today? Say if you can make it happen and put some great rounds together. What does winning the state amateur do for you?
Well, I mean, it's just the notch in the belt. I mean, there's some really good players that have won this championship. Guys that are playing professionally. I got Brandon Crick, he's on the web.com. Brady Snell, he's on the PGA Tour. I mean, there's a lot of good players that have won this championship and are still playing. Some guys who won it when they're early in their careers, in high school, during college, and tried playing pro and couldn't make it happen, so they get the amateur status back. And we're back playing again. So this is by far our strongest field, 156 guys. You got to play well for 2 days to make the cut, and then hopefully you can make something happen on Wednesday and Thursday. So it's a long road, long process. Tough holes at the Country Club in Lincoln, and just hopefully keep it out of trees and make a few putts and see what happens Jay, the rest of the week.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, at Jay Moore 44 on Twitter. Jay, a thought here as you look at recruiting, and we'll get to some Nebraska preseason love in a minute, but you're an Omaha guy. Know that there's been very few Omaha kids get out of Nebraska, but it seems like if a kid does leave the state, it's to Notre Dame. Nebraska had that happen. We were off Friday, Saturday, an extended holiday weekend with the 4th, but Nebraska losing out on the Xavier Watts race to the Fighting Irish. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, obviously, you want to lock in your borders, and since Frost has taken over, they've done a phenomenal job of doing that. Or you just want to talk about the 500-mile radius, and this is like the 50-mile radius here. Mm-hmm. But, there was, I think I took an unofficial just a few weeks ago, and it sounded like he wanted to commit then. I mean, mm-hmm. Sounds like the kid has a good head on his shoulders and comes with a really good family. Not only did he reference that Notre Dame's a phenomenal football school, but academically, he graduated with a degree from Notre Dame. I don't know if it's as near as, you know, graduating from like a Stanford, but it's got to be right up there with how you're going to set yourself up. You know, in the future, if football does not work out for him, and I think, you know, he could definitely make a fine career out of playing it professionally if everything goes well for him. There's a great, you know, rich history there. You know, if you want to talk about the great tradition and fan base of Nebraska, I mean, Notre Dame's right there. I've always kind of, you know, Nebraska is, you know, always been 1A for me, but I've always found it, you know, I've always had a, I would say I love Notre Dame. I've always liked them. You know, I always watched them as a kid because they're always on, you know, NBC, you know,
and they were good. They were good when you were a kid.
Yeah, the days of, you know, I remember, you know, the days of Rick Meyer, you know, being a QB, you know, early 90s, you know, they were solid. And I remember watching them, you know, beat Florida State at home, you know.
I kind of like them because they beat Colorado one year.
That too. Yeah.
They lost to Colorado too, which made me cry, but, you know, whatever.
Right. So, I mean, I get it. I mean, it's a tough decision. It really is, but he feels, you know, good about it. First and foremost, in these type of situations, you want where the kid is going to be, you know, feels like he can feel the most comfortable to where he can excel. You don't ever want to feel like he is uncomfortable and he can't, you know, put his best foot forward and put all his effort to become the best he can be. If he felt like Notre Dame was the best spot for him, then great. And I'll be honest, I mean, let's be honest, this thing isn't over yet. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not. You never know what could happen. You could have a change of heart. I mean, you can't sign anything until December, you know, so who knows what happens after the season's done. Who knows? Crazy things have happened, but, you know, it's unfortunate, but listen, he picked a great school, so let's just hope he, you know, pans out well and does some big things and represents the state of Nebraska really well.
I think you nailed it. This thing isn't over. And Wandale Robinson was supposed to be over, but Nebraska able to get him to flip from Kentucky to Nebraska. And Nebraska will stay in contact with Watts, I would assume. And Barrett Root ain't done yet, is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, he's definitely not done yet.
Jay, Nebraska getting a lot of preseason love. A lot of top 25s are coming out or already out. And a good write-up by Vogue's this morning, kind of on the consensus. And the consensus is Nebraska's your West Division champ. The consensus is Nebraska's a very real top 20 team. There are lots of pats on the back. There's going to be more in Chicago in a couple of weeks. Camp will be here, and then it's off and running to 2019. How did you deal with, or did you deal with, much of the preseason hype? Because you guys, it was always kind of between you and Missouri, right? For the West mm-hmm. Division crown back in the Big 12. Did you let it affect you one way or the other? I know your mentality, from a team standpoint, is this good or bad for a team to have this much preseason?
Preseason hype, you know, we didn't, if it was good or bad, we didn't really pay much attention to it. You know, we're in the summer, you know, I'm imagining the whole team's going to summer school and still, you know, you just got to train. I mean, you're busy. You know, you can obviously see what people are saying a lot easier nowadays, but we didn't pay much attention to it, whether it was good or bad. But I understand it. I see why when you have a sophomore returning starter quarterback coming back and Adrian Martinez. I think people saw what happened year two under Frost in Central Florida. And they're like, well, you know, I'll be honest, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see the talent pool comparison between what Central Florida had going into year two and what Frost has year two. It'd be interesting to see, but, you know, it's very comparable. You know, it's just, year two, you can make that jump. Everyone's more comfortable. The defense is going to be more comfortable under Chenander and his system, what they want him to do. The offense is going to be more comfortable in year two with Frost. This team easily could have been, 7-5, 8-4 last year. I mean, they lost so many close ball games. I think this team's going to learn from those mistakes. You have a lot of winnable games. You get Ohio State at home. Your road games aren't brutal. You get Wisconsin. I mean, all your tough games are at home this year. So that plays a huge factor in what people are thinking. And the West is wide open. And, it's Nebraska. It's Iowa. I don't ever count out this week too. They just seem to always get it done. And Minnesota came to come off a nice finish last year. So it's there. But, again, these kids and the fan base got to realize it's just talk. It's all it is talk. It's something to talk about now and in July when not much is going on. But the respect is, I think, is warranted. I do believe that. This team is, barring any crazy injuries, I think 8-4 is about the worst they can do. But, 9-3, 10-2, is definitely achievable. If Adrian stays healthy and the line gets better and they find a couple good, sturdy, staples at the running back position, because we know that's up in the air. And the defense, the D-line sets the tone for the defense, which it should, because they got a bunch of guys back. There's no reason why this team can't play in Indianapolis in December, but that's in December. And that's just July, and there's a lot of work and a lot of games. And still got South Alabama, still got to go to Colorado, and a lot of football yet to be played.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Blackshirt Monday, Blackshirt Husker NFLer, Jay Moore, at Jay Moore 44. Jay, got about 2 minutes left. Want to switch to the NFL. Randy Gregory, the troubled Cowboy, is currently on indefinite suspension for violating the league's substance abuse policy. Going to file for reinstatement within the next 10 days. The Cowboys seem to feel like that Gregory will get reinstated. Was suspended February 26th, and the Cowboys have showed faith in Gregory. They extended his contract through 2020. What do you make of this, man? You spent time in the league, got about 90 seconds here. Do you think Gregory will get reinstated? It seems and sounds, with as many failed tests, like a long shot, but there's got to be some sort of something we don't know, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Well, I think anytime you have Jerry Jones on your side, things can get done. let's put it that way. He's kind of, he's right up there with, all the owners. He's probably 1A who can, control some things. But there's been a long history of guys who've done this, whether it's Josh Gordon or you go down the list, and it just seems harder and harder for these guys to, overcome these issues. I'm just still surprised the Cowboys. I mean, it's like, they've gotten burned already a few times. I mean, how many more times are you going to stick your neck out for a guy and he keeps, making the mistakes? So, I mean, that's the biggest thing, too, is Randy finally learned his lesson. I mean, there's only so many mistakes a guy can make before, the Cowboys and the NFL are just going to say, hey, bud, we've given you many, many opportunities, but if you can't learn from them, we can't employ you. You can't be part of this league. You can't represent the Shield. And once you're in the league, that's the most important thing, is you got to represent that Shield. That's what they always talk about. So, until this whole marijuana thing is legalized, the NFL takes a different stance on it. You're going to have these issues every year. So hopefully he gets it straightened out. We'll see if the Cowboys and NFL are willing to give him another shot. But I think this is more of a long shot, to be honest. I think the NFL learned the lesson so far with other guys in the same situation.
Well, the bigger conversation is the marijuana policy. That may be shifting or changing. Jay Moore with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jay, have a great round today. Thanks for the time, bud.
Yep, you got it, Smitty, anytime.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Good stuff from Jay Moore. Big thanks to Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. More Blackshirt Monday as Charlie McBride's 25 minutes away. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, and you. Are you shaking the cobwebs all right? Maybe you had Friday off. We did. We had Saturday off, and then we're back at it and feel refreshed, stretching, ready to go. And then we'll put it together here. Seven Saturdays away from college football, less than a week away from a trip to Chicago for media days. We'll talk to them Goofers. We'll talk to the Boilermakers. We're going to talk to the Huskers, of course. Michigan State is not on Nebraska's schedule, but they're bringing some bad dudes with them on the defensive side of the ball. So Ohio State, of course, big ball game. Thoughts ahead as you've got Khalil Davis going to be part of it. Mo Berry, both senior defensive specialists for Nebraska and Coach Frost. And then Adrian Martinez. Adrian's the first sophomore quarterback, and Hail Varsity tweeted this out. First sophomore quarterback to make a trip to Big Ten Media Day since 2011. You have Noshe Patterson of Michigan. And it's just really Stanley and Adrian in a really pretty good quarterback league. You've got guys who's taken snaps as a starter at Purdue. Michigan State is going to have Sunshine back. Sorry, I had to go Sunshine. Long blonde hair. Back at quarterback. You don't have a guy who's taken a snap yet in a game for Ohio State, but people love him. So at least Nebraska is kind of manning up with who they're bringing. I appreciate that, as is Michigan State. They're bringing some of their defensive folks. Let's get to NBA Summer League. Well, you had to wait a bit for James Palmer Jr.'s showcase because of, God forbid, those earthquakes that rocked parts of California and were felt in Vegas caused the Friday night Summer League game to be canceled. So JPJ had to do his work against the Knicks. And how about James Palmer Jr. with the Suns doing some of that work? Guy had 23 points, 8 of 18 shooting. And that's kind of where James Palmer Jr. has been as a volume scorer, but he was efficient from three-point land, 4 of 7, 34 minutes. He's used to playing 70 a game. So 34 minutes for JPJ is good. 4 rebounds, 1 turnover is it. So Palmer was good. He'll be back in action Tuesday. And this is a chance for him to turn some heads. He was undrafted. He was unsigned. He had a quiet June. And finally, Phoenix kind of ponied up. But I think he's got a chance to really turn some heads if he can keep playing efficiently. And that three ball keeps dropping, which we didn't see it consistently. And we know that the number of minutes he logged. Okay. Mm-hmm. Where's Palmer Jr.'s future at? Is it G League with Phoenix? Is it overseas? Is it, hey, come back and see us next year? I don't know. I think he's too good a talent to just not take note of what he did. Other people are having big games. I get it. But Palmer was good. And I thought Roby looked really strong. I mean, you talk about confidence and assertiveness. And Roby's debut was good. 10 points, 4 rebounds, 2 blocks, 1 assist, 28 minutes. Took, not just made it, but let's highlight, took a key shot with 24 seconds left, and that went in from the baseline to give Dallas a 4-point lead. And then against Houston, he had 14 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. So you see the versatility. Again, Roby took his lumps a little bit on the block against a 6'9 guy in that first game who, you know, played in 46 games, is a little bit more thick. Okay, so we all know that Roby's not a guy you want one-on-one down in the post against bigger, thicker dudes. That said, Roby can make his presence felt and get you going with a block and then a score in transition end-to-end. So he started. I think Dallas has got to like what they see. Now, this is summer league. Are you going to see it translate in transition? Will you continue to see it grow and move up with each performance Are they efficient performances? Are you getting a bang for your buck, so to speak, with minutes played? And all he does, and that's rebounds, that's assists, that's blocks, and that's scoring. And he's been a pretty consistent scorer for him. I mean, 12 a game through two games.
Yeah, I think, and we've talked about it before on this show, is he does enough that I think he can earn a roster spot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of can they take the lumps offensively if there are some. So far,
how big a minus is he going to be on the defensive end, right?
Exactly. So it's kind of he does enough that he has a place on the team. It's can they take the negatives, make it positive, and find the role for him. He's not going to need to be, we've said it before, he doesn't need to be the feature guy, the star player out on the court. But you can't also say, well, on offense we've got four guys and Roby, and then on defense we have five guys.
Right.
You know,
you can't play 4-on-5 defensively in the NBA.
Right, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see. He's played really well so far. I think if he continues, I mean, he had 7 boards in the second mm-hmm. game. So if he can do things like that, show that he can pass really well, and then show a little more of aggression as the summer league finishes mm-hmm. out, I could see him at least playing maybe G League early and then getting called
bumped.
Up. Yeah.
Well, and I think you got two different scenarios here. You've got a guy that's fringe, make the roster if things keep to par here for Roby.
Mm-hmm.
And if Palmer keeps doing his thing, I think him making a roster spot's long, long shot just because of the difficulty in getting signed.
Yeah.
But I think he can make he can make their minor league squad,
yeah.
or go make a payday in Europe.
Yeah, and I mean, G League, you'd get 125, so it kind of, you know, shakes down to how much can you get overseas. But also, yeah, with the Suns, I feel like the Mavs are a little closer to being competitive than the Suns are.
That's a very nice term. They're yeah. both
they're
a ways
both,
away.
Yeah, they're both not. I mean, after the shakeout of
one's
of
like
Western
Scott's
Conference.
Bluff, the other's McCook.
Yeah,
distance wise.
Yeah, so
to Lincoln.
Yeah, to any major city. But I mean, I think that James Palmer, there is a path for him to at least make the G League roster, and I think there's a path that it may not be this year, like you said, but he has enough tangible assets that he could make a roster in a year.
Well, and I think your key too is, I mean, what can you get from Palmer if he is only giving you, for the first time in his career, short spurts?
Yeah.
I mean, what's he doing in 8 to 10 minutes of playing time, or 12 minutes? Or he had 34 the other night. I mean, he's not playing 40.
Right.
And having to guard the other team's best offensive player. A cautionary tale of banning Clippers from coffee shops. We'll hit that. Coach McBride's on the way. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. 10 minutes away, Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride. Our Mondays with Charlie, Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. So Thursday, had a chance to get out and swing the clubs. I did not win, but I did not perish. Thankfully, I had some help with the good folks of Austad's, Chris DeBusk. I've told you about him and what he's done for me with that special fitting. I went in on a Saturday. I got fit for some clubs, and it's helped my game quite a bit. And hybrids and a putter is what I took away from Austad's, a 3, a 6, a 7, a putter. And what they did when it came to fitting me, they checked my forgiveness. Lord knows I need lots of forgiveness. And Chris found out a way to make these clubs fit for me. Carry distance, club head speed, ball speed, all of it was measured. And the video analysis was taken down by Chris. They had the pictures. And then we got to try out the different brands. And what fit me was some hybrids from Mizuno. And the rest is history. It's been a really good summer of golf. And it's been a really good summer with the clubs I've got that have been fit to me and my game from Austad's. You can get fit today All you got to do is just log on ostads.com, schedule an appointment, 27th and Pine Lake, if you're in Lincoln, and find your way to Ostads and see Chris and get fit today. It'll make that game fun. It'll help your game. You'll enjoy it. And I really had to, quite honestly, sneak off with my own putter because my father wanted it. It was working. It was working, and you'll find a putter for you at Ostad's. Okay, so this is what it's come to at the Alfred Coffee Shop. So the L.A. coffee chain has banned Kawhi Leonard from all locations after failing to sign with the Lakers. Paul George has also been banned. Josh Zod, he's an L.A. native. He reached out to confirm what went down, and it did. You know, and I've been to L.A. once in my life. My brother and I went to Rodeo Drive. We got the stinky pinky look where, where are these animals from, Buffy? Right? And we're on some designer shop at Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills. My cousin Charles and his wife, love them both. They're both gone. And my brother and I are there. This is 2000. My brother walks up, man. He has some freak show wig on. It looks like the Friar look Tim Tebow got shaved into his head during NFL training camp, like the Reformation haircuts that the monks wore. That's what this wig kind of looked like with my brother wearing it. And we got pretty much asked to leave. I don't know if it was the Gucci store or what. So, but totally L.A. Oh, you're just not allowed here for coffee. Is Kawhi even a coffee guy? Is Paul George a coffee guy?
Kawhi kind of seems like it.
Well, he doesn't seem awake ever. Like, he's quiet.
He seems like a Folgers out of a can. I'll brew a pot in the morning and
Kawhi's going to spend like... He's going to go to Costco and drop whatever the bulk coffee purchase is.
Store brand,
generic.
Yeah.
Because the guy, I don't want to say he's cheap, but he is thrifty. And he was still driving some Suburban.
Tahoe,
right.
Think. Yeah.
So, guess what? Coffee chain. Kawhi wasn't going there anyway for $17.50 a cup.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, it's Hour 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Hope you had a great 4th of July and holiday weekend if you had some time off. We wrapped up the baseball season for my little guy. 0-3 in Omaha, but we won't let that make us bitter. We welcome in Mr. Blackshirt Mondays with Charlie, Coach Charlie McBride. Coach, you have a good week? Weekend? How are you?
Yeah, it was a great weekend. We had family and... Jared and his kids, his wife and two kids came over and spent a couple days with us. And so it was crowded, but people were sleeping all over the place.
That's the way to do it, isn't it? I mean, you have a cookout, you get together with family and friends, and Jared Tomich is family for you, and that sounds awesome. What'd you guys eat? If you had a house full, I imagine... There was quite a line to get some grub.
Oh well, Jared, he brings meat. He just says I'm bringing the meat. So we had marinated kite chickens, and we had brats and hamburgers, and geez, I don't even know what all the stuff we had. We just kept eating. That's all I know.
Well,
and I shouldn't have done that, but. You know, what the heck? Got to have fun one time.
I love it. Chicken and brats and burgers. And that sounds like a party, man. The McBride house. I love it. Well, Coach, I'm glad you had a good 4th of July. Some recruiting fireworks for Nebraska. One where you had a talented wideout from Omaha, Burke, end up picking Notre Dame, but also Nebraska winning a recruiting battle down in Waco, Texas, with a slot wide receiver. William Nixon is his name, and Nixon's daddy is the offensive coordinator for Baylor, but he picked Nebraska over Baylor. Nebraska did a great job of relationship building. I kind of want your take on some of the inroads Nebraska can make in the state of Texas, in your opinion, even though they've been removed from the Big 12 so long.
Well, I think one of the things is you have to always be aware of, and I'm sure Scott especially is aware of, West Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of, you're kind of out in the boonies, but and you have to drive a little bit. But there's a lot of kids and a lot of speed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll find out when, if you look at Texas Tech and Baylor and some of those, you'll find some of those kids on that team. And, of course, they're not, some of those guys don't feel like going out there and grading them. They're going to stick around Dallas and all that. And, you know what? So a lot of them don't have the, you know, the pub that some of them do have in Texas. You know, they work the state pretty good, and but that's always been a place that I always thought, you know, and I always thought the same thing in Illinois. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always kids here and there. I remember Ottawa, Illinois. I stopped in there, and there was a big kid that was a tight end there. He ended up going to Michigan, but you know, they find those kind of kids around. And they may not have all the stars that you want, you know, but I think once a good school recruits them, the stars start to come out and they figure out what they're like. They check them out pretty good. But in Texas, you can go, anywhere, really, and find out the coaching's great down there. Mm-hmm. The coaches work together. They got a great high school association. And there is a rule. Now, this isn't for everyone, but they really want their kids to go move around. They don't necessarily want them, hey, go to Texas every time they have a great player in that. So they're pretty, they're pretty established in their thinking as far as telling a kid. I've never known a high school coach down there to really tell a kid where to go to school. And they like to have guys all spread around. It's a feather in their hat.
Well, it's such a highly populated state. You play football year-round. They have spring ball down there. They're tough kids. They're fast kids. They're athletic.
I recruited a kid when I was at Wisconsin. I went down there in Houston, and he was a basketball player, played quarterback and wideout both, and played them both in the game. And they would have practice at noontime in the off-season. They would be out with their pants rolled up, their football shoes on, and be sitting right there in the right by the school there, and where they could run plays and stuff. And the coach just sat in a chair, leaned back, and watched them. I mean, it wasn't, you know, out on the thing, but they were doing it at noontime. And, it's they take it serious.
That they do. That they do. Charlie McBride's with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, sticking with the recruiting theme, kind of take us through your steps. When did evaluation start for an out-of-state kid? There was no huddle back when you were recruiting O-linemen at Wisconsin, yep, or going after defensive folks for Nebraska. I know there were camps you guys would host, but there was also just a great connection you had with coaches. But kind of take me through how you got it done.
Well, I think a lot of times, you know, even going back to Wisconsin, and we sent out cards every year, you know, and they would put down their seniors, their juniors, and possibly a good sophomore. So you'd have kind of a list of guys that way. And it saved you a lot of traveling a little bit. You know, now if you don't see the kids, you can forget it. And that's the shame about it.
Mm-hmm.
And We were able to keep track of them. We were able to get film on them. Film is the hardest thing to get, you know, especially get them on seniors because you're waiting for, you know, a couple of games to get into the year unless you're able to go see them play, you know, which some of them we were, the close ones, you know, the ones within 500 miles we were able to go see.
Sure.
You know, on Friday nights. And so that was part of it. But the whole thing in recruiting is to keep on them, to keep, you know, and, you know, it's like now, of course, there was no cell phones. And, I mean, they had them, but they weren't anything that anybody thought too much about. And we got our first cell phone at Wisconsin, and it weighed about 5-10 pounds.
The old bag phone.
Yeah, it was awful. And then in Chicago, they started stealing phone numbers and stuff, and using the phone numbers for, I mean, it was awful. So that didn't work out real good for everybody. And but it was a thing where it was driving and it was hustling, and it was, you know, you were on the road. I mean, I would go in the spring. I would go from eastern Kansas, all the way through to Detroit, through Missouri, through Illinois, and that way. And I mean, it was scrambling every minute. I mean, it was, you were driving like crazy, and you were trying to get to places, and you know, you had to thin it out. You couldn't go see every possible kid, or you might as well just stay in one area, you know. But you knew who the pretty good ones were. I mean, you had probably 80. We had a good shot at about 80% of the kids to know who they were. So that it's not any different. It's just that there's more social media. There's more things, more times the kids can visit. You know, we had times one year we could only see the kid 3 times, and an official visit. That was it. I mean, it was crazy. And then there were times when we couldn't even go to a game where our children were playing in, because there might be another prospect there, so we weren't allowed to go.
Man.
I mean, the rules were just awful. And there's not a whole lot we could do about it except complain. And, of course, it all finally got changed over the years, but you know, that was it. And then we had recruiting coordinators, and we had guys that took the film, looked at it. You come back in, and there'll be a stack of film in front of your office that you had to look at over the weekend. If you came in on Friday, it was pretty easy, but a lot of times you had kids coming in.
Sure.
During the season. But we probably made our selections a little bit later than they do now. And now some kids we've offered in camp like everything else, you know, and some kids we've known before and offered them and things. There's always those special players. And but they were mostly in the state. And we did have some, you know, spread out. I know we had one in Pennsylvania one time, and Frank had some back in Jersey and California. George had some that you wanted to, you know, you offered right away. So after their junior year. So it wasn't too much different, except it's more wholesale now.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, I want to spend a couple of minutes on a game that is very near and dear to Nebraska fans. That's the 94-Colorado game. The anticipation continues to build for the trip out to Boulder. We're going to be out there having a good time Friday and Saturday. Doing shows. So I need to get your thoughts, though, on that Colorado team, man. Brooke was a quarterback, did a great job, but your defense was incredible to hold that Colorado team to 7 points and under 350 yards of total offense. What a day for your black shirts.
Well, I think the biggest thing is I think that, you know, that preparing for it. And a lot of times, you know, word of mouth gets around, and people, you know, there's things in the paper, there's little things that kids see that we don't. Mm-hmm. They see them. I mean, I talked to kids later, and they said, "Did you see that article?" I was like, "No." You know, they probably know more about what's going on as far as the players talking than we do, because we don't get, you know, we don't get newspapers. Although we do get recruiting papers from different areas, we have newspapers mm-hmm. sent to us from all over, but for recruiting purposes. But as far as the, you know, the general combat between, you know, languages and what, who's done what, and this guy said this and that guy said that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and of course, Broderick Thomas is a kid we had 1 year, and, you know, he finally decided that he wasn't going to talk. And then they'd challenge him, the press would challenge him, and he'd go off.
Yeah, I mean, Broderick was pretty good at talking.
He couldn't handle being, and I don't blame him, but I'll tell you what, he brought it when he came. He stood behind what he said.
That was good. Back to the 94 Colorado game, Coach, though. Was that one that, I mean, that you had, obviously you had circled, they're all important, but that one, man, was for number one.
Well, for me, every year playing them was a big game.
Sure.
For myself. And I think the players that I coached actually knew that. I think that, as far as our little group was concerned, you know, they had that feeling. Maybe some of the other guys did too, but... You know, that was part of the motivation, and you know, you go back there and you get certain things kids say on the sidelines. It's amazing. Mike Knox was a freshman, and they were leading. We hadn't even had the ball but one time and fumbled it, and it was 14-0. And I turned around and said, "We're going to get hammered." And Mike, a freshman now, he turned to me and said, "Coach, we're not going to get beat in this game. This is Colorado." So we just, it was 56-14.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, but that game, you know, is always was a special game. And I think, you know, there's been some rivalry, I think, between the people, mm-hmm. almost more than the players.
Yeah, coaches, you know. On their end, you know, coaches have. Yeah. Who've made it a pretty big deal. Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, you have a great rest of your week, and
okay.
Work on them leftovers, if there are any, and we'll get caught up back with you next Monday.
Those leftovers are our hors d'oeuvres.
No, there we go. You just shift them. You just shift them to the hors d'oeuvre portion of the menu. I like it.
That's good. Okay. Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you next week.
Be good, Coach. Take care. Okay. Thanks for the time.
You bet. Bye now.
There he is, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Very modest about that performance in 94. He's right, though. Motivation. Coach, as he puts it, was a buffalo. He played for Colorado. I want to remind you about your friends at West Blue Realty. I've been telling you about West Blue Realty. And they take care of you when it comes to specializing in residential home sales in Lincoln and surrounding communities. And then you can make that next move a smooth one for you for a limited time. Just drop the name Hail Varsity at West Blue, and they'll provide you up to $1,000 upon the closing of your next home purchase. Give Tom Luby a ring at 402-540-3768 or call Kelly Hofschneider at 402-202-2312. For more details, it pays to work with West Blue. What can West Blue do for you? Well, they can help you about $1,000 or so off the closing. That is better than the alternative. Some of us got hammered on closing costs when we moved. Should have used West Blue. WestBlueRealty.com. And go visit him, 233 South 13th, 11th floor, Tom Luby. Kelly Hofschneider will get that done for you. Greg Smith has been busy. We will talk to the recruiting insider with HailVarsity.com and magazine next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could... Listen to the radio.
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Great to have you back on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We welcome in recruiting analyst Greg Smith, at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Greg, I had to troll you a little bit with another Kawhi gif. How are we dealing with the loss of Kawhi across the street, my friend? Are you okay? Have you thrown anything?
No, I'm okay. Like, honestly.
No, you're not. Like, I can tell in the tone of your voice you're not okay.
I mean, I feel a little angry, but I'm not sad about it. It's more anger at this point that he picked the Clippers of all places. But I have to respect the power play that he pulled in landing Paul George as well. Mm-hmm. But I was mostly stunned, like most people, when I woke up early that morning and saw all of the news that broke overnight.
We'll get to Mr. Nixon here in a second. How does one Greg Smith cope when he's frustrated?
there was a lot of swearing, to be honest. And then it was a lot of nervousness about what was going to happen next because, you know, right when that kind of broke and people were figuring out about it, like the Lakers had made all of these signings that they've made, you know, since then. So it was pretty nervous. Now I'm okay. I think that they have a really good roster now. It's versatile. I like the bigs. I like the shooting that they finally added to the team. They finally got that memo. So I'm okay with that. But, yeah, that initial hours, there was a lot of swearing.
Greg Smith with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine recruiting analyst at Greg Smith HV, avid Laker fan. I had to get your take on that real quick. I think it was an upset, but I like Doc a lot. I mean, Doc's phenomenal. I just didn't see that going a certain way. You and Dr. Petey, I'll go have to have misery cocktails together.
Oh, he's much more upset than I am.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
This is going to get worse for him when they trade Russell, too. So this is not good.
Yeah. Insert dynamite here, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep. So those seats that him and Junior want to go in on will be much more affordable.
Yes,
Chesapeake Energy Arena.
For your pocketbook, right?
That's right. We'll just send them both down there. Don't yell at me. Okay, Nebraska, this is huge to get William Nixon, 5'11", 185, slot guy. I love what he does with yards after the catch. I love him in space. He's a fit for this offense. And just his ability to separate from people in a spread, catch it in the bubble, go up the seam, the quick out, and then turn and burn. Big time get. Are you surprised Nebraska got him? Because he's a Texas kid. His dad coaches at Baylor. It's not supposed to look this easy for Coach Walters and Heldon. I'm sure it wasn't. But what a get, man, especially in response to the Watts decision on Friday.
Yeah, it's a huge gift for Nebraska. Like you said, Nixon really perfectly fits what they do on offense. Like, I don't think he's one of those kids that, regardless of his rating, he's going to be someone that it's hard to quantify how good he's going to end up being because of his fit within what they're doing. Like, he really does fit perfectly into that slot, that duck R position. I was a little bit surprised only because he had yet to take his official visit to Lincoln. Now, when I talked to him after his unofficial visit, I think it was the same day as the Shrine Bowl, because I remember talking to him driving back from that, he said that he was so excited about his unofficial and how well that went that he was just considering turning right back around and using a summer official visit to Lincoln. So I knew that Nebraska was high on his list, but I am always a little surprised when a guy pulls the trigger on a commitment before taking that official visit, especially when you had the ability to take the summer official. And with his dad being at Baylor, now it is surprising in that way, too, that Baylor wasn't a stronger consideration. Now I have to dig in some more on why that was considered, and I don't know if it's because, you know, you just don't know if they're going to be around all that long. Matt Rhule has had a lot of NFL interest already and interest from bigger programs, or he just didn't really vibe with what was going on there. But being a coach's kid is always a plus to get that in your program as well.
No, it is. That's a money point. You want to go get kids that have parents that are teachers or they're coaches, right? And coaches are teachers. So, but you know, you have Purdue knocking on his door as well, and Purdue's got a long history. And I know it's been a while since the late great Joe Tiller was at Purdue, but I mean, Purdue's mined Texas very well. I mean, there's Purdue connections and Texas kids that have played in Boilerland for a long time. And you go back to Breeze, right? I mean, just think of the name. So that's the name, right? So with Brohm up there, I mean, to me, it's like an arms race for Nebraska and Purdue to get the most amazing slot duck R Wandale slash Rondale type ballers, and they're going after the same kids, right? And Nebraska yeah. Nebraska was able to get one away from Baylor. I think it's pretty impressive. What's your take? What's your eyes say on Watts and Nixon here? They're both super talented. I know if you go by composite, isn't Nixon a bit higher rated than Watts? Do you agree with that?
Yes, he is a little bit higher rated than Watts. And I kind of agree, but it also, like, again, it depends on what position we're looking at here exactly within the offense. I really don't think that those – I think that both Watts and Nixon were both 100% takes for Nebraska, and they would have taken both of their commitments because they viewed them as two different types of receiver. Watts is probably, 6'1", 180, 190, and is going to continue to add muscle mass. He'd be more of a role of what Stanley Morgan played for this team last year versus, you know, playing that JD role or that Wandale role this year, whereas Nixon is going to play that type of a role. So they're different types of players. But I think if you do look, I think on every site, actually, I think that Nixon is rated slightly higher than Watts is.
You look at Nixon's commitment, and it's commitment number 8 for Nebraska. I know you have 5 takeaways. You can check that out, HaleVarsity.com, from Greg Smith. I want to go back to this Watts decision. We haven't talked since last Monday, and this news came down on Friday, right, as folks are in line to buy brats and beer, you know, getting ready for the weekend ahead. This thing was Notre Dame. Was it just Notre Dame that said it's time for you to commit? Is that what happened, in your opinion?
Well, yes and no. I think that is part of it because, like, I think we've talked about this before a little bit, is that their class has been filling up and they've been doing a great job. I mean, they have a top 10 class right now by every service ranking. So they do have the ability to put that type of pressure on someone. But I also think that X really wanted to get the decision out of the way. Like, he had always wanted to make a summer decision before his senior season. But I think that he's had a couple of times now being out in South Bend where he really felt strongly about the place and considered committing to them. It wasn't just that time that happened on that official visit. That happened with him on an unofficial visit as well previous to that. So he's always just had strong ties to that Notre Dame program. So, yeah, I think they had the ability to play that leverage game, but I also think that he really liked them from the start.
What's next for Nebraska? I mean, you have 8 commits for 2020. Anything this week? Is it going to calm down a bit? Is it going to heat up? You leave for Chicago media days for Thursday. I mean, you're, you know, 8, 9, 10 days away from that. So what's the next week look like if you're Nebraska?
Yeah, I think it slows down a little bit from here unless we get a surprise. The Will Nixon was a little bit of a surprise that moved as quickly as it did. I don't see anyone else that's really on the horizon right now to pop to commit, though there are a couple of guys that if it were to happen, a guy like Savion Morrison, the running back out of Oklahoma, would be a candidate for that was just here for an official visit. Coley Bryant-Struther, the Atlanta area linebacker, would also be a candidate for that, just as those are two guys that have taken official visits to Lincoln, really high on their visits, but also have kind of indicated that they like to make decisions before their senior seasons as well. But I don't necessarily anticipate those happening, but those are a couple that would be in the mix there.
What's your take on the folks headed to media days, Khalil Davis, Mo Berry, and Adrian? I'm not surprised about Adrian. I'm not surprised about Mo. But Khalil, good for him. And, I mean, I'm not knocking the decision at all. I'm just saying he's a guy that I maybe wasn't expecting. I was expecting another upperclassman, but not necessarily him.
Yeah, that was interesting to me. It's funny, me and Derek were talking about it this morning, and that was we didn't even bring him up. So it was a little bit of a surprise. I thought maybe Jack Stoll Could be a guy that got a look.
You got to spend an extra. You need an extra seat for the mullet, though, on the plane.
You definitely do. So maybe that was a deterrent for him. But good for Khalil, though, as he's a guy who could be in line for a big season this year as well. So it'll be nice to get him out there. And if you've gone to cover those post-practice events, getting to talk to him without all of the other defensive linemen around will be pretty fun as well.
Well, that's going to be different because you have the Davis twins, and then, give me the group, right? You've got...
It's them, DeAndre Thomas, the Daniels brothers. Sometimes Philly is in there giving a mean glare as well. But it's kind of neat, like I joke with them about it. It's kind of neat because they all say, hey, if you're going to talk to one of us, you talk to all of us a little bit. We're a brotherhood and all of that, which is kind of cool. It just makes it very difficult, as you know, to actually get those interviews when you're trying to do it that way.
You ask for one, you get four, and there's the stare down going on while you're asking.
You ask a bad question and you got, six big dudes just glaring at you.
Greg, I don't know if you gamble. Nebraska's at -7.5. That's the opening line right now out in Vegas. We will confirm that with Danny, the Pride of Chicago, later in the week. But Huskers -7.5 at Colorado.
Okay, I can vibe with that a little bit.
I'd love it. I'm going to use some of Colton's money to put a lot of heat down on Nebraska. So,
man, I was going to use yours. So we've got a nice cycle going.
Dude, it's mama's, all right? It ain't mine. It's mama's money. Greg, we'll get caught up again maybe if we get that surprise later in the week. Thanks so much, and go Lakers, huh?
Yeah, we're actually back. I think we've got the second best odds to win the title. Confirm that as well. 55 wins this year. I'm calling it.
Okay. The 5-5, says Greg Smith at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Greg, take care, bud. Thanks for the time.
Hey, have a good one.
You too. There he is, Greg Smith. 7.5. Love that. Get in line. Throw your money now. That thing's going to be a field goal. You know it. And in typical Nebraska-Colorado fashion, Nebraska will go pinata on them for three quarters. The Buffs will have a furious rally, and your buzz is gone, however you now get it. With a 4th-and-19 that gets stopped, 2-yard shot. We'll wind down on Monday next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. And we are going to hit some NBA here. And I got to talk to my longtime Miami Heat fan about this idea of Jimmy Butler teaming up with Russ Westbrook in South Beach. We'll have Dean Blevins on tomorrow. So that's a good thing. And sift through all this OKC drama. I don't know if I dare reach out to Dr. Petey this week. Now, he does have a bunch of first-round picks, but the year to get first-round picks was this year.
Yeah.
Reminder about buckling up. Something's got to stop that motion, and airbags aren't enough. Do you want a seatbelt or the windshield to stop your forward momentum? Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and body need to slow down. This applies to whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now, click it, or ticket a message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. So you can find us on Twitter, Chris Schmidt at Schmidt _ radio, Colton Stone at 2 Birds, 1 Stone. Need to ask you about these sources. It's per Woj. Westbrook eyeing OKC exit, likes Miami. I'm sure he likes Miami. Do you think Russ has been out of shape that Paul George says, get me the bleep out of here? Hmm. And if I'm Paul, I saw what happened. I saw the lack of offense. And I just see a guy that's a phenomenal athlete and wants to win that is not efficient enough to be anything better than a 6 seed.
Yeah, it's interesting with Paul George leaving. I'm not too surprised, really.
Well, I mean, he gave it a go, but I think he realized this ain't going to work. Get me to L.A.
I think what rubbed people the wrong way was the commitment level. Him signing the long-term contract, him saying he was there to stay in OKC, them giving him Paul George Day, which was last Saturday, I think. Mm-hmm. So he probably celebrated. But the thing is like,
you can't win anything of substance with Russ.
Right. You could win a first round. If you're,
they haven't.
If you're lucky, you could get maybe out of the first round. But it's
Utah, teams that are kind of upstarts. Portland's been pretty well established.
Yeah.
As decent.
Yeah, I just don't think
superstars want to go there. KD left, whatever. Mm-hmm. Harden left. Now George is gone. I mean, that's the trifecta.
Well, and you look at a place like Portland where Damian Lillard is your prototypical, like, what you want your point guard to be.
Scoring point guard.
Right, but isn't selfish.
No.
Isn't too selfish.
No, and I think Russ, I don't even know if it's, I think Russ plays that hard, that he gets those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I just think his shot selection is god-awful, and the guy just can't shoot. I mean, he is the definition of streaky, and he has taken emotional pull-up in the moment, just brutal shots.
Yeah.
It's hero ball all the time with him. And he's trying to get to the rim, and his mid-range is fine where he'll explode free throw line pull-up, mm-hmm. and that's okay. Yeah. But even finishing around the rim wasn't great. And defensively, he is as good a defender as there is in the league, probably the last 15 years. And when he wants to turn that on, that's where he can be great, get a steal, go down, dunk it. He's a ball of energy that wants to win,
yep.
and he gets numbers in the name of winning, but it turns into hero ball too often. And I think it's because he wants to win. It's not because he wants the glory. Triple-double, does that make
right.
sense?
Yeah. Well, and part of it, too.
Do him and Jimmy Butler coexist? Can they? I think they'd kill each other.
Well, yeah, there was.
I mean, you may like having two superstars of that level in Miami. Right. You only have one basketball, man.
Yeah.
You tell me as a Heat fan.
Yeah, so my buddy and I were talking about this when, you know, the Boogie rumors and everything, and then they ship off Whiteside, which basically just guaranteed that Whiteside wouldn't get beat by either Boogie or Butler in the locker room, but no off-season fights. But we were talking about this. Anything that excites you, period, whether it's because they don't work well or because, you know, they compete for a top six, top five seed, as a Heat fan, anything that is worth watching – I am all for. However, if they can make something with Beal, and I don't want to go out on a limb and say John Wall, but if they can go out and get Beal and just get some role players around Butler and Beal, I'd be much happier than Westbrook. However, I'm not going to say no either. But it's going to be – it's a Dude, weird dynamic I, if those two
I,
are on a team.
I, you're looking at, like, the MVP. You're looking at the points. How would they exist together? Because Russ is kind of no nonsense. Mm-hmm. Jimmy's a freak show by all accounts in the locker room. And they're both kind of the same dude.
One's just taller. That's pretty much the difference.
But my point being, with just their mindset.
Their style of play.
Their style.
Yep.
I think Jimmy's a better shooter.
Yeah.
Right?
At least long range to... Yeah, his long range and his ability to get to the basket. They both attack the basket really well.
Well, when Russ isn't settling for threes. Yeah,
exactly. That's
and Butler sometimes drifts that way as well.
And I don't know.
To settle.
That's the thing. It's like, I don't know what it would take for Russ to not necessarily take the backseat, but like have a come to Jesus moment. And like, hey, maybe I should
maybe
take
it's
a
me.
Couple of better shots. Yeah.
Maybe it's me.
Yeah.
Well, and if you're OKC, do you get rid of, you know?
If you're going to rebuild, you might as well clean house, I guess. But
but do you get rid of, help me out, I know him as Doug, the big guy.
Oh, Steven Adams?
Aaron and Carson always call him Doug. He looks like a kid named Doug. right? Steven Adams. I love Steven Adams.
Yeah.
And he upped his scoring. He was about a 20-point-a-game guy last year.
Mm-hmm.
Not just rebound, defend, and block shots. He's athletic. He's big. He's tough.
The thing is, especially with Russ, it's kind of that situation where do you trade your star when they're upset or when you are starting a rebuild, or do you hold on and then they leave in free agency?
Dude, he's got 4 years left, $170 million owed. He's 30, going to be 31.
Yeah.
And do you really gut it and totally clean house? Are you that faithful that draft picks are going to fall in your lap that will be game-changing? Because if you want to give credit or not to Seattle / OKC, fine. They did get Harden. They did get Durant. They did get Russ.
Mm-hmm.
They did get Steven Adams. The kid that Reggie Jackson was a really good draft pick who's kicking butt in Detroit. He didn't stick and stay. I mean, Oklahoma City's been pretty good. I know Dr. Petey disagreed with me. He knows it way deeper than I do, but
They've
done well.
Yeah, they aren't like completely off the rails, but I think they're just looking at it realistically of what's possible with their current roster.
And you need to be a top four seed to find your way to the next round in a murderous West.
Yep.
And they are barely a playoff team right now as is with him and PG. George is gone. Is Russ next to go? We'll wind down on Monday next on Hail Varsity.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you one final time on a Monday. Tomorrow we are loaded up. Matt Verzel, former Husker offensive lineman standout. Get a little O-line love tomorrow. Dean Blevins, News 9 in Oklahoma City, and Thunder Insider going to be with us. Mitch Sherman from The Athletic, so we are loaded up. We've got a Barney sighting for Wednesday as well, so that'll be awesome. Excited about that. 466-377-6800-825-5864. Did you watch the World Cup, Colton? Did you check in on Sunday morning with the women?
Yeah, I started watching in like the 72nd minute.
Okay.
Is that just
waking up?
Yeah, well, so we went over.
Did you have a late one?
Not too late, but slept in, and then we went over to a friend's house, but we knew we were going to be late because of the nature of people that we are and the amount of time we slept. So.
Sure.
But, yeah, I caught the last probably about 25 minutes of it. So.
All right.
I called it good.
Well, good, good, good.
Then watch a little Royals baseball after that. So
nicely done. No, I thought it was pretty sweet with what the women did. Are you amazed? And I know this has been beaten up the last 24 to 48 hours. It still doesn't excuse it. But are you amazed at the pay gap? And I know that's a real thing when you talk dollars and cents and economy and the reality that isn't right. But I'm kind of wowed. I'm wowed that the take-home pay is $30 million that's going to be bumped to $60 million, which is still phenomenal.
Right.
But the men getting bumped from $40 to $450. Hmm. I mean, are you just not able to charge as much for women as you are men when it comes to advertising packages and how you make your revenue?
Yeah, a lot of it. Not that I'm like an expert on this by any means, but I've.
But I'm
like,
asking the question.
Yeah, I've talked to a couple people that. Sometimes it's hard to like get the real point through, and sometimes it's hard to know what side's right and wrong, whatever. But the thing is like you look at the revenue of a men's World Cup, even though the men missed this last one, but the one they were in before, the men's World Cup is bringing in $4 billion of revenue. So then that's split up between nations. Mm-hmm. Whereas the women's World Cup are, you know, they're bringing in $150 million or so, right around there. Still a lot of money.
But it's not, there's no B.
Yeah, there's no B, and you can't split that as
billions, not millions.
Right. And the percentage that the women's teams get is higher, but the money is lower. And if you start, And it becomes the whole like developmental leagues, and sure. Yeah, there's a lot that goes.
It just kind of comes down to what your money,
what you have,
what's your number, what do you have, and what's your product's worth.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, I mean, the women's soccer team is phenomenal.
I hope it increases. I hope it turns into billions for them.
I agree. But and the thing too is, the point I always tell people too is, think about how many random men's friendlies are on like ESPN, mm-hmm. FS1, whatever it may be. And it's never anything important, but it's the fact that they're getting on those stations. And the women's team will play a friendly, and people may not know it's even on.
No. And
and that's part of the issue.
It is. It is. Exposure, following, eyeballs, mm-hmm. radius. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Great to be back on Hail Varsity Radio. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Talk to you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity. Take care. Thanks.